title of this morning's message is Taking on the Tongue. And let's give ear to this reading of the very word of the living God. James chapter 1. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Almighty God, we thank you so much that we can be here at this time, this day. We thank you for what you have prepared for us through the various songs and prayers and conversations and this ministry of your word. And we pray, O Lord, that you would nourish our souls, that you would speak deeply to our hearts, and that we would be conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, this is Doodle Sunday, or as we might say up north, Yankee Doodle Sunday. And the way we'll be, kids, you'll be drawing five pictures, so you can leave some space on your sheet for that. And let's break the ice by drawing a face with a mouth and a tongue coming out of the mouth. And that tongue is a tongue of fire. A tongue of fire. So you work on that, and we'll turn to this text of God's Word. When I started this series in James, through the book of James in January, there was a guy in the congregation who came up to me, and he said that he was very much looking forward to this series. And I asked him why. And he said because he has a problem with his mouth. He has a problem with his tongue. And he knows that James, in his letter, speaks to that very issue. And of course, that means a couple things, doesn't it? It means that not only does God's word address the tongue, but other people need to hear this message of God about the tongue. It's something we all need to hear, managing our tongues. Now, James does give teaching about the tongue, but by tongue we mean our words. It's a speech that comes out of our mouths. To give you an idea, let me read this from James 3. He says this, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Well, that's pretty disturbing. Now, we'll get into that when we get to James chapter 3, but that is very alarming. And it's especially concerning when we realize that what James is talking about, this tongue, all of us have one of those. And so James is almost saying, like, we've got concealed carry here. We've got a weapon in our mouths that is capable of tremendous destruction. It's like carrying a gun around with us, or perhaps even more keeping with what James says, more like a hand grenade. It is so destructive, both to ourselves and to others. When we get to James 3, James is going to give some practical instruction on how to manage the tongue and the power of the tongue. But already here in chapter 1, what we just read, he alludes to the tongue when he says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So here we are, Doodle Sunday, and where are we going to have the kids draw? Well, we could have them draw a gun or a hand grenade, but I'm not sure how wise that is. And today, you know, take this to your neighbor or something. Hey, guess what my pastor is having us draw here? Probably not the best idea. So since we're talking about being, quick to hear, slow to speak, let's do something slow and something quick. kids for Doodle Sunday. So how about for slow, would I ask you to draw a couple ideas? Be a snail. Let's say a snail in a race is for slow. Or a sloth playing a game of Pictionary. It's another way, depending on whether you're on slimy or furry. It's a little bit of irony here, isn't it? Doodling a sloth while he's doodling. All right, well, that's something slow. How about something fast? Well, kids, let's draw a rabbit for that. So slow to speak, snail or sloth, quick to listen, rabbit. So you work on that. We're going to explore James' counsel on the tongue this morning. And actually, there are three things he calls our attention to in these three verses. The first we might call keeping our tongue in hand. So the first section of this, I'm calling keeping our tongue in hand. I used to have a dachshund. The dachshund's name was Oscar. And you know, these dachshunds have long snouts. And my daughter Sarah, when she was at home, that was kind of her dog. She actually paid for the thing. I need to thank her more for it. Anyway, when Oscar would yawn, this long snout, his tongue would stick out very much out of his mouth. And my daughter Sarah, she would grab his tongue and hold on to it. That dog suffered such great abuse from Sarah. And when I say keeping our tongue in hand, I don't want you to think about that. I don't want this image of grabbing your tongue with your fingers. Rather, what I mean is we need to keep our tongue in check. We need to keep it on a leash. Because think about it. If something has very destructive power, the potential for great power to harm or to heal, then we need to make sure that we keep our hand on it, that we keep our eye on it, and we're very careful how we use it. Here's something else that James says in chapter 3. And he says that he describes the tongue this way. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so with this tongue, this powerful tongue, we can bless or curse. We can build up or we can tear down. We can hurt others or we can help others. For example, kids, here you are doodling, you're drawing your snail or your sloth or your rabbit. Imagine if your brother or sister or a friend came up to you and said, "Hey, great job." Or your friend could also say, "That stinks." You see, with our tongue, we can say something that encourages and builds up, or we can say something that hurts and tears down. And all of us can do that with those we know. So James tells us that as disciples of Jesus, we need to keep our tongues in check. Or the way it puts it here, we need to be slow to speak. And the only way that we can be slow to speak, the only way that we can keep our tongue in check and hold on to that leash is if we are keeping a tight hold on our tongue to keep it doing what it seems natural to, or to keep from doing harm or running wild. James tells us this. He says we need to listen before we speak. There's a proverb that says this. It says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. We do that, don't we? Often we will jump to conclusions, or we will not listen to someone. There's a lot of that nowadays going on in our world nowadays. There's not a lot of listening. There's a lot of speaking. There's a lot of painting everyone with the same brush and stereotyping and pigeonholing because we don't listen to one another. And we are all guilty of that. We're ready to let their mouths finish talking so that we can speak, and we're not listening at all. So kids, as you doodle, this rabbit that you're doodling, I want you to give it great big ears, not little ears, because a rabbit is to be quick to listen. James says that speaking is okay. We're to speak, but we need to be very deliberate about what we say. And why is that? It's because our words are to be on the mark. They are to be constructive and not destructive. One of my favorite verses on the tongue is Paul in Ephesians 4:29, when he says this: "Do not let." In other words, it's kind of might be banging at the door, but don't let it out. "Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You see, our tongues are not only not to tear down, to don't let any unwholesome talk, that's word that those words that tear down, that hurt, but rather we are to give words that build up according to their needs. Now, how do we know what their needs are? We need to listen, don't we? We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, so that when we do speak, our words give grace. They encourage. They build up. They hit the nail on the head. Notice what James says in verse 19. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." He's saying here, let every person. And what does that do? It says that your speech, my speech, your speech is you're responsible for what you allow to come out of your mouth. If someone else says something, that is their problem. For you, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are to guard what comes out of your mouth. There's a proverb that says this, Proverbs 15:1. It says, "A soft answer turns away wrath." And you hear that division of responsibility there? It says that someone might yell at you, but you're to turn that wrath away by giving a soft answer. Because what happens when you yell back? It divides you further and further apart. But in watching your own responsibility, guarding what comes out of your own mouth, you are carrying out the responsibility the Lord has for you. So, keeping our tongue in hand. We need to keep our tongue in hand, guarding what comes out of our mouths. All right, the second section I call danger, danger. Danger, danger. All right, now our parents and teachers warn us of stranger danger. I'd like a kid to tell me what that is. What is stranger danger? This is audience participation of the small person size. What is stranger danger? Yes. How about Weston? Okay, so you have to have your antenna up. You need to be careful, don't you? Yes. If a stranger comes, walk away, because you can't be careful, so you're not to draw near to strangers. All right, Les? Yes. They might talk. Speak louder, please. They might want to kidnap you, yes, and that's never a good thing. Right, yes. So yes, we need to be on the alert. We need to keep our kids safe. We need to help them be aware of their environment and all that. Well, James warns us not of stranger danger, but of anger danger. If you look at the word danger and you take off the D, you've got anger. We need to be, in other words, every time we're angry, James says there is danger involved. Notice what he says in verse 19. He says, "Be slow to anger." He says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The tongue can be a weapon in the hand of anger. In fact, the tongue is so often a weapon in the hand of anger that usually in the scriptures, where you find teaching about anger, in the vicinity, you will find teaching about the tongue. You find that in the book of Proverbs. You find that in the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus, when he says, if you're angry with your brother, and he says, if you say, Raca, you fool, and he brings the tongue to bear. We find that with Paul when he says, to let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Just before that, he says, be angry and do not sin. James talks about it here. So where the Bible talks about anger, you'll find teaching on the tongue, because so often the tongue is a weapon wielded by the hand of anger. You know, there's a knife. Think of these two scenarios. Imagine a knife in the hand of a calm person, maybe cutting up vegetables on a cutting board or something like that. Or imagine a knife of a guy who has just rear-ended you in road rage getting out. Two different scenarios. Now, we can show anger in different ways. There are two primary ways that you and I show anger. Either we blow up or we clam up. Clamming up is when we hold that anger inside. We seethe, and it can become bitterness and resentment. And words can manifest that too, in very cold, calculating words. Or we can blow up, where we vent and yell and attack and really lay it on someone. All right, kids, here's another doodle. What's a good picture of anger? Well, to me, I think one of the best pictures of anger is a volcano, where it's erupting and smoke is billowing out and lava is pouring out, and anyone in its way is in harm's way. Anger can be extraordinarily destructive. You ever heard someone say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Don't believe that. Do not believe that, because words can reach places that sticks and stones cannot. Words can break hearts. Words can break spirits. Words can leave bruises that last for years and years. Now, an erupting volcano is a good picture for anger because it's scary, and it can leave a huge mess when it erupts. I was doing some teaching in Ecuador one time, and I was in Quito, in the valley of Quito, which Quito is about 10,000 feet above sea level, but it's a valley compared to all the 20,000 foot, something like that, volcanoes around it. It's something's white cap volcanoes. And I visited this missionary family, and they told me that, I think it was a week prior, one of the volcanoes had erupted, and I don't think there was lava, but there was this billowing smoke, and so there was this ash all over the place. Ash got in everywhere, and so they spent all this time cleaning up. Well, when we erupt in anger, that happens. Yes, and there is cleanup that is needed, time-consuming cleanup, because it can be destructive. Now, anger is usually fueled by pride. You know, usually it's something about us. You know, usually we get angry because we didn't get our way, or maybe something we thought was our right, maybe a right to this spot in traffic, something like that. Maybe that was stepped upon, and we don't like that. But what is James concerned about anger? Well, he's concerned about that, but he says in verse 20, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And he's telling us what we need to be concerned about as disciples of Jesus. We need to be concerned about the righteousness of God, and anger often impedes that, because anger is concerned about me, my way, my rights, rather than the rights that God wants. So, we need to guard our tongues at all times, especially when we are angry. All right, so we need to keep our tongues in hand. Danger, danger. And the third section I've titled Anger Management. Anger Management. Now, what James does is he goes on in verse 21 to give us a mini course in how to manage our anger. And actually, he's talking about the tongue. He'll get more into the tongue later. Tongue's a topic of his. But actually, what he's mainly concerned about here is anger. He wants us to understand anger. He wants to be slow to speak, quick to listen, as they relate to anger management. That's why he highlights anger in verse 20. So James goes on to say this. Verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. See what James does? He sorts out two things. He says something that you are to put away and something you to are receive. So something that you are to push away, something that you are to grab onto. Let's look at the put away. What James does is he does an environmental study. He does an environmental study of the heart. And when we see that environmental study, we'll see some of the things that fuel anger. He speaks of two categories of pollutants. He speaks of all filthiness, and the idea there is moral filthiness. And the other word that he says is rampant. The other expression is rampant wickedness. Or actually, that word rampant is translated elsewhere abundant wickedness. So he says there are these things that are percolating in our heart that are toxic to our soul, which produce an anger that does not seek the righteousness of God. We want to remember this, that anger is not sinful in itself. You know, the Apostle Paul said, be angry and do not sin. So in other words, there's a way that you can be angry, and anger is a huge motivator. But there's a way that we can be angry and not sin. We look at Jesus as he displayed an anger that was what? Zealous for his Father's house. Have you ever experienced this righteous anger? I think I have. And an example would be like when one of my kids, when they were little, would bully another kid, another brother or sister. That would bother me to no end. And I would get angry. Now, I would think that would be a righteous anger because I was concerned for loving one another. I was concerned for the glory of God. So righteous anger is concerned for God's glory. Unrighteous anger is anger that is unrighteous in two ways. It is sinful in two ways. One, it stems... It flows from sinful motives or is expressed in sinful ways. But usually the anger of our lives is toxic. It's unrighteous anger. It's volatile, explosive. It's flammable. So we're to put that away. We're to put away those things that fuel this sort of unrighteous anger. But we're also to receive. What does James say we're to receive? It says we're to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. What's that talking about? Well, he's saying, you know, this toxic waste that is our heart at times. He says this word that has come to you, this gospel of salvation, this resurrection power of Jesus Christ, it can reach into your soul, addressing this rampant wickedness, addressing all this moral filthiness, and transform you in the way of salvation. This gospel, this grace that brought you to life in Jesus Christ is with you to transform you and to grow you. How do we do that? We do it, he says here, by the exercise of meekness. Meekness. Now, usually when we think of meekness, I think of these, you know, little wimpy people, but there's nothing wimpy about meekness. In fact, meekness, Jesus is described as meek. Meekness is this, gentle strength. You don't need to be strong by yelling. You can be strong with a conviction and a tenacity and a resolve and a steadfast purpose. Meekness is gentle strength. So what does meekness do? It holds the reins of anger. Meekness listens. Meekness keeps its wits about it. Not allowing our tongue to be controlled by anger, and James is concerned about this, is a hallmark of genuine faith. Next week we're going to look at this when he says in verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion is worthless. So, rather than using our anger-wielded tongue to hurt others, we want to live in the strength of self-control, meekness, that seeks God's righteousness in the situation. So, in other words, we want to manage our anger in a way that seeks God's glory, seeks the good, the welfare of others according to their needs. I want to suggest one other thing here, kind of a different angle as food for thought. What's James been talking about all this time in chapter 1? Well, we've had three messages on chapter 1, something like that. What's he been talking about? Everybody can answer this. What has he been talking about? Trials. This is what happens when I preach every other week. Trials. He's telling us that when we get these trials come to our lives, we're not to find joy in them, we're considered all joy. We need wisdom to manage trials. We have faced spiritual opposition in trials. We've been talking about trials. James has been telling us about trials. Well, what's he doing now? Has he shifted topics? He's no longer talking about trials? Well, I would suggest that he is continuing to talk about trials. And I suggest that he's continuing to equip us for trials. Let me give you an illustration. Hopefully this has the approval of our athletic department. Let's say that you're interviewing a new pastor. And you say, well, let's see what this guy's made of. So you take him out to the ball field, and you're playing a softball. And so the pastor gets a hit, and he rounds first base. And he moves into second, and he makes it there on time, but he gets there, even though he gets there on time, he's called out. Let's see how this guy acts. Here's this pressure, here's this wrong, here's this right violated. So is the pastor going to blow up with anger, or how's he going to handle it? Let's see. James says this, that trials draw to the surface the toxicity of sin that pollutes our hearts. And they reveal the pride within. They show the sin. They show us where cleanup is needed. They show us where we need to grow in Christ's likeness, where that implanted word that he talks about in verse 21 needs to do its work. So I would suggest that trials are used by God for toxic cleanup for our spiritual development. Now, anger, that kind of short-circuits things, doesn't it? Because it makes it all about us. Instead of about God's workmanship of grace in us, anger makes us slow to listen. In fact, it can be deaf, oblivious, resistant. Anger makes us quick to speak because we're ready to rant and rebel and accuse. And so anger acts to prevent us growing in the righteousness that God has for us through the trial. Now, what does meekness do? It brings us to listen, to learn from the trial, and to tap into the power of the new life that is ours in Christ. Actually, kids, there's one other thing I meant you to draw. And that is, I wanted you to draw a lake with dirty water, dead fish floating in it, trash on the shore, and that's what God is working to clean up in our lives that Christ might be formed in us. Kind of interesting, isn't it? It's a doodle Sunday for the kids. But God's drawing a picture for us of how he wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as that grace of our salvation is at work within us. Let's pray.